Again, my name's Mark Wilson. Our research director for this large project, Heather Bowen, who very much wanted to be here. She was going to present today, but she's 3 or 4 months pregnant, and the doctor told her not to travel. And so I told her it's a pretty lame excuse, but all right, I'm going to be here. So I'll be glad to talk about that. So I wanted to acknowledge the hard work that she's done on this project, as well as our other collaborators with the Workplace Health Group, and also CDC that funded this project. I spoke briefly about this particular project a little bit earlier, but this is slightly different. This was the pilot study for the project. Ultimately, what we wanted to do was to take the diabetes prevention program, which is a clinically efficacious, effective program that was tested in a clinical setting, and see how well we could translate that to a worksite setting. This particular portion was a pilot in that we went into one particular site with the intent of doing really a pilot study to see how we could, what we needed to do to translate this to a worksite setting. So presented at an earlier conference was a very onerous formative research stage where we went in with focus groups and individual interviews and talked with leadership and talked with the workers and really tried to get a handle on what their needs were and how this program would fit within these particular work settings. Our corporate partner for this was Union Pacific Railroad. It was in their diesel maintenance facilities, is where they bring the big locomotives in to repair and maintain them before they go out on the tracks hauling freight all over the West Coast. They run 3 shifts a day. It's largely a production or manufacturing facility, so that 80-85% of the workers are in that role. Again, they're largely white, male, and middle-aged is this particular population, a very blue-collar manufacturing production type of population, if you will. All right, diabetes prevention program. If you're familiar with that, there are 6 core components or elements to the diabetes prevention program that you have on the left there. The real 2 keys to these are the first 2. It's a goal-based behavioral intervention and the lifestyle coach. Diabetes prevention program is designed, it was targeted towards those individuals that are pre-diabetic, at high risk for developing diabetes, largely associated with what we call type 2 diabetes, largely associated with weight gain. So these are folks that are very heavy. If you take a real look at the Diabetes Prevention Program manual and materials, for all intents and purposes, it's a weight management physical activity program. It's really what it is. So we took a look at the adaptation of this, the translation of this, and ultimately what we heard from the worksite, and we kind of knew in advance as well, is that one of the key components of this, the lifestyle coach, employed a very hands-on, very intensive approach. The coach sat down with an individual. They met with them on a weekly basis for an hour over the 16 lessons. They provided support to them. They provided accountability. They provided additional resources to the tune of about $200 per individual that they had available for incentives to pay for yoga classes or fitness lessons or whatever they wanted. So it was a very high cost, high intensive type of intervention. Clearly not very applicable to worksite settings. So we kind of went the other extreme and used an approach that is typical in worksite settings, certainly typically employed in Union Pacific Railroad, where we use the occupational health nurse as our site coordinator, as the point of contact, to help organize these, to provide basic information at the safety meetings, and then a peer health coach, very much using the peer health educator, health advocate, promotora model, where it is one of the individual workers that are out in the workforce with them that are largely there, not so much to provide information, but more to provide social support, to provide reinforcement, to provide that mechanism for the individual worker. So ours, very similar to DPP, except that support mechanism at the worksite. The manual that we used was the exact same information, slightly made, slightly more worker-friendly, slightly updated with the pictures and the way the material was presented, but basically the same content as DPP. What we really modified significantly was the coach, was this health coach. In addition to that, we tried some environmental supports where we put some information, some posters, and some information pieces up in the work site. We had we worked with the organization to make sure there was healthy items in the vending machines. The organization adopted a healthy eating policy where they had to serve healthy foods at all the business meetings of the organization. And we had an outreach component where we set up a website for the employees and their families. We sent home some materials to the employees' families. And we encouraged all family members, all spouses of the employees to get involved if they want. They could participate in the program as well. And we provided them with the manuals and the materials. And they participated right along with the employee, except in the data collection mechanisms. All right, to give you a quick snapshot of the employees. As we indicated before, these are largely male, white, married guys. Mostly had some college or technical school education, but quite frankly, not a high percentage of them with college graduate or higher. However, they had very large, high levels of income, with 86% that had a household income of $40,000 or more. And we had a significant percentage, about 10 to 12%, that had incomes in the 100,000 plus range. So this is a blue collar, low education, high income, manufacturing production type of group. A little bit difficult to work with. Three shifts that we worked with, and included individuals at all three shifts on this. It was open to everybody. And I should mention, with this particular work site was unionized. About 95% of the workers were union employees. So we, unlike DPP that targeted high-risk pre-diabetics, we were unable to do so. We were unable to target because there was concerns about discriminating against certain workers. So we really had to open it up to any and all workers who were interested in living a little bit more healthy lifestyle is the way we talk with those. So we got some that were at high risk. We also, quite frankly, had some workers that were at low risk but were interested in losing a few pounds or living a little bit better lifestyle. You can see that overall, though, the group is a very overweight group, with the mean body mass index being over 30, which is extremely high, as you well know, as well as some of the medical conditions associated with that, with the hypercholesterolemia and high blood pressure. And those are very high levels for worksite populations. Mean hours of sleep was low, considering the national population is probably related to sleep apnea associated with the being overweight. Diets, as they referred to as the railroad diet, consisted of high calorie, high fat, very few fruits and vegetables, and a lot of sweetened beverages. And particularly with a number of the younger workers, we saw the energy drinks, which was real big. And I think many of them didn't understand that there's a tremendous amount of sweetener in those energy drinks. It's not just fluids and caffeine. There's a bunch of sugar in it as well. So this was an opportunity to work with them related to that. All right. Again, this was a pilot study. We just had one site, one population that we worked with. So there's no control group with this. But we do have all three time waves. We collected data at time one, which is baseline, time two, which is 6 months. The DPP program, the initial program, is a six-month program. There's 16 lessons that are conducted over a six-month period of time. And then there's a six-month maintenance period of time after that. So we had a time two measure is at the post-test after the program itself, and then time three measure is 6 months after that, after the maintenance period. So from time one to time three is about a year period of time. And what we saw in this particular group were very positive reductions in BMI weight, both in kilogram and pounds over the course of this intervention, certainly at significant levels. And as I think I had mentioned earlier in the session, I've talked with a variety of health professionals. One conference I was at recently where the medical director for a large organization in Northeast United States was talking about their population. She happened to mention that they see on average their population increasing by about 0.3 BMI per year. So about one BMI point every 3 years in their population, they see that as an increase. So there's a lot of discussion in the worksite community these days about this notion of maintaining. First of all, what we need to do is we need to get them to plateau and stop this increase. And if we can do so, then we're making gains of and by itself. And we were fortunate with this to see, not only did we see a slight decrease, but a pretty significant decrease of about a half a BMI point over a year period of time is what we saw. So it worked out pretty well with this pilot group. Just to give you a flavor for it, again, remember that some of these were at high risk, some were not. So we didn't see this across the board. And at the time two period, about 40% of those that participated either maintained zero gain or gained slightly. At time three, it was slightly higher, about 45%. So we had slightly over half that had some kind of weight loss over the period of the study, and a little bit less than half that either maintain or gain. And we saw some real positive effects down at the bottom end there with a 5% or greater gain, which is pretty significant gain, or I should say loss in this case, over the course of the program. Quickly, and I don't need to spend a little bit of time on this, but we thought this was kind of interesting. At the end of each lesson, there is the DPP program is based upon a goal-setting, self-monitoring approach. At the end of each lesson, they're to monitor the fat intake over the week and what their physical activity level was, and they turn that into us. We had a drop box at the work site. It was locked up. It was confidential. They had a participant code that they put on it. They dropped that in, and we're able to track. We thought it'd be kind of interesting to take a look at a measure of participation. Is there some way that we can delineate those who are actively involved in the program from the very beginning to the end, and those who kind of started but lost momentum quickly and fell out? And really the only way that we had, since we couldn't talk with them weekly, was to take a look at these sheets that they turned in, self-monitoring. So what we have on the left there is participation levels, those individuals that didn't turn in any. Those that turned in low, you can see below, were 1 to 2 before they burned out. Medium was 3 to 6. And then the high participators were those that participated throughout and turned in at least half or many of them all of the lessons. And I think there's a couple interesting things that we saw here, and I don't know if I can explain these. Number one of which, the highest weight groups, those that had the higher BMI levels, were found in the no participants and the high participant. If you take a look at that, for some reason there was a split. Either the very overweight individuals either didn't participate at all, or they were real enthusiastic and participated like crazy. And where we saw the biggest decreases were really, first and foremost, was in the high, but secondarily in the low. Again, the low was the group that turned in 1 or 2, usually the first couple of lessons, or maybe 2 out of the first 3, and then they fell off, they lost interest in that somehow. And so that was the low. And what we saw across time in the low group was a significant decrease. And I have absolutely no reason why they would, above a medium. And I'd love to hear some ideas if you've got, if you have any of those later. But ultimately what we saw over time was significant decreases in the high group, and that's really what DPP was targeted towards with those high-risk individuals. None of these are significant, largely because if you go back and take a look at the number of subjects, it's so low we're not going to find significance, even if we wanted to there. And we found basically similar things. If we're not, the previous was BMI, this is weight. We found similar, obviously, across time with weight. So, in summary, we can translate DPP to a worksite, and we can see some positive effects. We're not seeing the same levels as the DPP program itself that showed upwards of about, on average, about a 4.9%, I believe, was the increase over the course of the study. But this was a very low intensity type approach, and they use a very high intensity type approach. So a lot of what we're doing in worksite right now is kind of trying to see how low can we go. Well, we went way down low, probably too low, quite frankly, and still saw some positive gains. If nothing else, we got the majority of them to plateau, to stay maintain that weight over time, at least half of them, and that's significant. Although we did get a large number, over half that decreased over time periods 2 and 3, and about a quarter of them lost 5% or greater, and that's what was the average loss of the DPP program, was about 5%. So we did get some positive effects in about a quarter of the population that equaled the DPP levels there. So in short, we can show some positive effects associated with this particular weight management program. We can translate a clinical program and show it to be effective in a worksite setting. And thank you for your attention.